This episode of Guitar Radio Show is brought to you in part by...
With a unique design and construction, DNA Guitars is a clear choice when looking for the all-around guitar. DNA Guitars' recipe for creating perfect instruments is steeped in tradition while looking toward the future. DNA's recessed bridge construction is a five-point contact bridge, a solid brass bridge that is inset into the body, maximizing strength, contact, and string vibration. An incredibly comfortable guitar to play, DNA Guitars molds to your body, and the neck profiles are wonderful to play across. DNA uses an exclusive 100% solderless wiring harness that is designed for guitars with single coil or humbucker setup. Looking for versatility? Look no more. Check out DNA Guitars. Go to dnaguitarcompany.com. Custom guitars handcrafted in the USA. DNA Guitars. Innovation to fuel your inspiration.
And also by...
Hey everybody, Mark Davin from Guitar Radio Show. Have you heard about Lock Knob? LockKnob.com? Lock Knob is a revolutionary product invented by a musician for musicians, solving the long-time problem of lost settings. How many times have you been at a gig or a session only to have to reset all of your settings on your amp or your pedals because they move during transit? You can upgrade your existing knobs on your amp, pedals, mixer, guitar, almost anything with a pot, with an all-aluminum quality-made reusable knob that does more than just look pretty. Never lose your settings again. Lock it down with Lock Knob. Go to LockKnob.com for more.
Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Here's your host, Mark Davin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 152 of Guitar Radio Show. I'm psyched today. We are going to sit down with somebody. You ever meet somebody and you say, wow, I feel like I've known them my whole life. You just feel really comfortable with that individual. It's just like a melding of minds, if you will. Well, that's how it was today for me when I got to speak with Mr. Vinny Smith from VPix. And we're going to talk about all the stuff that he's done, his history, his guitar playing, his affiliations with all these great artists that he works with, some of which who are my heroes. And we're going to talk a little bit about DNA Guitars today as well. We're looking forward to that. So that should be really cool. Folks, I want to remind you, GuitarRadioShow.com, GuitarRadioShow@gmail.com. for any of your burning needs or desires or questions, comments, and concerns. Thank you, Bob. Once again, coming up the rest of this month, we've got Mr. Johnny Hyland, we've got Von York Strings, and we've got Mr. Andy Timmons. In December, we've got coming up Mr. Tony McAlpine, Victor Pra from Burst Believers Books, such great books. We've got Steve Hunter from Aerosmith and Lou... Aerosmith. Well, there's an Aerosmith story in there for sure. From Alice Cooper and Lou Reed, as well as many others. And a whole bunch of other really cool people. Rick Vito, formerly of Fleetwood Mac. So we've got some cool stuff coming up there, and I can't wait to share it all with you. Lots of cool conversations coming up. Let's see, what else I want to tell you? Yeah, did you visit GuitarRadioShow.com? You really should. There's a new website coming soon. We're going to be revamping it, I think. We'll see. We'll see how we feel after the first of the year. You know, we'll go from there. And we're hoping for some new swag, because the swag we have sucks. I'm just being honest. All right, you ready? Here we go. Here's my interview with Mr. Vinny Smith. It was great to talk to him. I love his picks. Matter of fact, here's one right here. This is one of the ultralights that I got when I was trying out the DNA guitars. But I've become a real fan of the Euros and the Euro 2s. I really like them a lot. And he's right. When you use these picks, you end up creating a softer touch. And it really ends up helping with any kind of repetitive stress injuries related to guitar. So I hope you're going to dig it. I know I did. Are you ready? Guitar Radio Show, guitarradioshow.com. All right, folks. I was just playing this morning here in the studio, and I was using our next guest's one of his picks, and I found that really was very helpful for when I'm doing particularly surf style music. It was really helpful, helped me really pick out all those notes on all those arpeggios that I was doing. So we have with us today Mr. Vinny Smith from VPix. How are you, Vin?
I'm doing fantastic. Good to talk with you.
Good to talk to you. It's interesting, you know, the style of what you've designed here, and I'm holding one in my hand right now, is really good for any kind of music. It's not limited at all.
Yeah, that's right. And we have over 100 models, so if the one you've got there in your hand isn't working for you, and isn't blowing wind up your skirt, I definitely have one that will.
Well, I tell you, this one's pretty darn comfortable. This is something I got from Tony over at DNA.
It actually, let's see, then you've probably got the Tradition Light then?
It's got the DNA logo on it.
Yeah, that's my Tradition Light 1.5 millimeter.
Yeah, I like this. This is really very comfortable. Very comfortable. I like it a lot.
It's 1.5 millimeter, so there's enough beef on it that I can put a nice bevel, and that's why it slips over the strings like that.
Yeah. Now, are all these handmade?
Most of them are handmade. They're all handmade. I should say that. They're all handmade, but they start out different. 80% of our picks start out as a big sheet of acrylic.
Mm-hmm.
We cut out the shapes at a laser machine, then we hand grind the bevel on a bench grinder, just like you would sharpen a shovel with, I mean a bench grinder. And then we flame buff them with 1800 degree hydrogen flame to make them look pretty like you've got.
Yeah.
Now, when a pitch sells over 1,000 a month, that's more than the two of us can handle. So I get a mold made for that pitch. It starts out in a mold. It still gets hand trimmed after it comes out of that mold.
Okay.
But it knocks down about three of the steps. So we can put out, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 of that thing a month if we need to.
Well, that's cool. So
that pick really has to prove itself before I'll put it in the mold, because those molds cost me about 10 grand a piece.
Yeah, I would imagine so. They're injection molding, right?
They are. They are. And cast acrylic is just the hardest darn thing to injection mold, and you have to have a different kind of metal because you want those clear picks to look gorgeous like they do.
Right.
And so I can't just use a regular semi or medium grade metal. I have to use this real expensive stuff because it buffs up a lot.
Mm-hmm. What kind of temperature does it have to be to melt the acrylic to get it through the mold?
That I don't know because I have somebody that does that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I can't tell you.
When
I can tell you this hydrogen flame we're using is 1,800 degrees.
Wow.
I can tell you.
Wow. That's crazy. That is wild. But yeah, this is great. I love this. I've been using it probably for the last week, and this morning I really got comfortable with it, and it feels really good. I like it a lot.
You like the way that thing sticks to your fingers too?
Yeah, I do. It's pretty amazing. I take my finger away and it's stuck to my thumb.
Yeah. And you don't have to, the longer you play that thing, the lighter and lighter you're going to become, lighter handed you're going to become, because you don't really realize that you're putting a death grip on your pick on your device.
Yeah.
You don't really. And then once that starts clicking in your mind and you start thinking, man, my hand's not as tired as it used to be.
Yeah.
And then you start doing different things. And that's our number, the one you got there, that's our number two selling pick, only to be outdone by the Screamer. Screamers are my
Google. And what's the difference with that one?
It's totally different. It's 2.75 millimeters, so it's about as thick as a quarter in the middle,
right,
not out on the edges.
Right.
The edges are very, very sharp and beveled, and the corners are really pointed. I started out making that as my acoustic guitar pick years ago, back in like 2007 or 5, somewhere around there. And I made it to really drive an acoustic guitar real hard. Mm-hmm. And then the electric players got a hold of that kit. And they all started writing me and saying the same thing. Man, this thing screams. Man, this thing just screams. Everybody said the same thing. So I told my wife, I said, we're going to call it two different things. We're going to call it the acoustic. We're also going to call it the screamer. And it never stopped selling. To this day, it's our number one selling bit.
That's great. Are you guys going to have a kiosk at Arlington, the Guitar Arlington show this year?
We're not this year.
Okay.
We're not this year. We live on a big ranch, and we have a lot of animals. And my horses, dogs, birds, chickens, and my daughter got married on me. And so I don't have anybody to take care of the animals anymore. So it's pretty hard for us to leave the place. It's 4 days ago.
Yeah, for sure.
We did love that Arlington show.
Yeah, it's a fun show. I was figuring if you were going to be there, I was going to pick myself up a screamer. So, all right. Well, I'll just have to order one online then.
Yeah. Right. And I do want to say that Arlington show, that's probably the best guitar show we've ever worked. Ruth is a magnificent lady, and she puts on one heck of a show.
Yeah, it's a fun show. It really is. And there's some really beautiful pieces that come in and out of there. It's just amazing. So, you know, it's funny. I was reading up on you, and you and I share a favorite guitar player of Peter in Peter Frampton.
Yeah, that boy can play. And you know, he lives in town here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
and I don't work with him. I work with Gordon Kennedy, his right hand man. I don't know if you know Gordon's dad is the one that played the guitar on Pretty Woman, and
mm-hmm.
did a lot of old Elvis stuff before James Burton. Anyway, Gordon is Peter's right-hand man, so I've been around Peter, and I've got Peter stuff, but I can't say I really know him.
Yeah.
But he's an absolute magnificent guitar player. I first got charged up about Peter Frampton back when he was in a band called Humble Pie.
Uh-huh, same here.
And they put out a record called Rockin' the Fillmore.
Yep.
And I think it was in 72 when I first heard that. I remember thinking to myself, I don't know who that guy is, but I want to play guitar just like that.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And he, of course, became Peter Frampton instead of just part of Humble Pie. We all know how that all went. So
yeah, I just got to see him here in Austin, just a few months ago, and I have to say it's probably the best show I've seen in the last 30 years. I swear, it was just.
Oh, was he live with his band or was he acoustic with Gordon?
He did both for Austin.
Oh, okay.
So he started the show electric, and in the middle of the show he shut everything down and just came out and played acoustically by himself for about half hour, and then he went ahead and he did another hour with the electric band, and it was just amazing.
Did he do that song "Hummingbird in a Box"?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, him and Gordon wrote that, and I just love that song.
Yeah, it's great.
Hummingbird in a box. Yeah.
Yeah, he's so, you know, what's interesting about him, he's so unique. He his solos, his songwriting, he doesn't sound like anybody else, and that's what I really love about him.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this other fellow, but I have a real dear friend that is much like Peter Frampton, but different, if I can say it that way. His name's Phil Cakey, you know Phil?
Oh, yeah.
Phil's a real dear friend of mine, and we were talking the other day, and Phil gave me a CD to listen to in the car, and I said, man, you sound like Frampton on this thing. And he said, well, you know, I was a big Frampton fan in the 70s. he gave me this one record, kind of an obscure record to be put out. Boy, he does.
Yeah.
He sounds like a lot of it. You know, that Frampton boy, he's inspired a lot of us.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So where did it all start for you as far as guitar is concerned?
Say that again. What?
Where did it all start for you as far as guitar? I mean, when did you decide you wanted to play the guitar?
Well, I played I'm an Italian boy, and I played accordion when I was little.
Uh-huh.
And then the Beatles came over, and that was it for the accordion. I guess I didn't think it was cool anymore. I don't know. I didn't start playing guitar. I thought it was kind of cool. I really liked the Beatles a lot. We used to pick up sticks and stuff and act like we're the Beatles and, you know, play and act like we're in a band just playing a wooden stick. But it wasn't really until I heard John Fogerty play a song called Run Through the Jungle.
Mm.
And that intro, that intro just really got me. And I thought, wow, that is so cool sounding. I want to be able to do that. What is that? Well, it's guitar. Okay, well, that's where it all started. So
yeah.
Started out with John Fogerty, and then I got into Carlos Santana. And it just went from there. And then, of course, Alvin Leo, I really liked Alvin Leo a lot.
Yeah.
And then when Alvin Leo came out and did the Woodstock thing, that just totally different. But John Fogerty playing Run Through the Jungle, that's what made me decide that's what I wanted to do.
That's one of those classic riffs, too.
It is. And, you know, what's funny is I didn't even learn the riff till about 2 years ago.
Huh.
I learned every other Creedence song there was, but I never learned that one. And then about 2 years ago, I was sitting down, and I must have played something that sounded like it.
Yeah.
So I sat and figured it out.
Yeah. So what was your first guitar back then?
My first guitar was the worst guitar ever. It's called an Orpheus.
Uh-huh.
I think you spelled it O-R-F-I-A-C-E, something like that. Orifice is what it is. It's called an Orpheus, and it was a little solid body. My parents used to have to go to work at secondhand swap meets and stuff, and I think my dad bought it at a swap meet for me. I wanted one. I think he bought it for like $35 for that thing. So you can imagine. Of course, this is in the early 60s, late 70s, so you can imagine what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
Strings were about a quarter of an inch off the neck. But it was cool looking, I'll say that. It was like a black and red sunburst. No, like a black and red burst.
Right.
It's just black and red. It started black in the edges. And when I was talking to Phil the other day, Phil Gagey about it, and he was laughing because he started on Orpheus Amplified.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And anyway, so he got me that, and I played that. Then I ended up getting a Fender Jaguar, and then Frampton. I learned about Frampton, and I got Les Paul. I was on Les Paul for about 10 years. And then I found out that my teacher in high school, I guess I left that guitar at school because I used to be in jazz band. I don't remember this, but I guess I left it there. I didn't want it anymore. So he sprayed it with a bunch of spray paint and nailed it to the wall. nailed it to the wall. I don't know if it was like he was going to burn it in effigy of me or what. I don't know what the whole thing is. We got along like peas and carrots, so I don't think it was that. But I don't know. It might still be nailed to the wall in my high school. I don't know. I'm that kind of humor, so I'm told about that. That must have left my mark in high school.
You were saying earlier about the light touch and how these picks end up teaching you how to have this light touch to really,
yeah.
I mean, really can help you extend your playing life in regards to repetitive stress injury, which is a pretty cool thing. When you, it's interesting because I know that like one of the people who uses your picks is Billy Gibbons. And
He has an incredibly light touch. So this must have been like a marriage made in heaven for him.
Yeah, he likes them a lot. He plays the same one that you played, that you got your hand there.
Uh-huh.
But he plays the one with the scratchy edges on it. It's not, well, it is scratchy, but it's not called the ghost rim.
Right.
So it gets that violin type of effect when you slip it off the strings. And, yeah, Billy is very light-touched. Even when he was still playing his bass on, he was playing on 7 chip. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah.
He plays on 7.
Yeah, I have a set of them, actually. I have yet to put them on anything.
I can't even feel those strings. I can't even see it. I guess the ends of my fingers are so dead, I guess. And he didn't break strings when he was playing it with a peso. But, you know, when Billy played with a peso, they ground them down to look like a guitar pick, you know. They weren't round like
right,
a peso.
Right.
It was a guitar pick band.
So, right.
Yeah, Billy plays my picks. Carlos Santana, he started playing my picks in the early days, and he's still playing them. Orders them by the hundreds at a time.
Wow.
Him and his brother, George Santana,
uh-huh.
George Tyson.
So when is it the process when you're dealing with an artist like a Billy Gibbons or Carlos Santana or Brad Whitford or J.D. Simo, when you're dealing with people like that, or Scott Van Zandt for that matter, is it a matter of them finding what they like out of what you've got, or are they looking for something? Do they come to you specifically looking for something?
Well, let me start off answering that question by saying, before I deal with Scott Van Zandt, I have to take a Prozac about the size of a baseball. The cheese fell off that guy's packer somewhere a long time ago. Just preface it by that now. Once you've dealt with Scott Van Zandt, all the other guys are a walk in the park. But no, it's kind of funny what the way you meet those people, like Carlos.
Yeah.
When I first met Carlos, I had this customer call me up on the phone one day. It was like 2004 or 5. And he goes, I want to order these. His name is David. David Work. You know, I want to order these. Okay. And he goes, now, if you'll put some extra ones in there, I'll give them to my friend called Carlos Santana. And I said, kind of irritated me. I just figured he was trying to get free picks, you know. So I go, how about this, buddy? How about if I just give you your whole order for free? I said that to the guy. This just wrote me wrong. And he goes, no, I'm telling you. I know Carlos and all. Yeah, okay. So, you know, I put some extra picks in there. Well, 2 weeks later, I get this phone call. And it said, this is Chad Wilson, and I'm standing here with Carlos Santana. And we want to order some picks for me. I said, excuse me? what did you just say? That was where my relationship with Carlos first started. And then about, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, I get this phone call. This guy says, this is Jim Montana, and I'm sitting here with Billy Gibbons, and we want to come over to your house. Well, over to the Beatnik thing. And I said, who is this? I figured it was one of my buddies just messing with him. Who is this? This is Jim Montana, and we're going to come over. All right, I gave him the address. Well, I hung up the phone. I told my daughter, Audrey, we're working, and I said, there's about a 50% chance that Billy Gibbons is coming over today. I still didn't believe that they were bullying the word. Okay. So then about 45 minutes later, I get another phone call. This is Tim Montana. We're just now leaving Guitar Center. Can you give me your address again? I said, who is this? This is the episode of the whole thing. This is Tim Montana. Okay, so I gave him the address. I hung up the phone. I said, okay, Audrey, about a 75% chance now. So then about 50, I had a cattle gate back then. I just moved into this old ranch that I had bought here in Nashville. There was a cattle gate in the front, of my shop there, getting into the shop. We have nice gates and everything. It looks presentable now, but I look out and here's Billy Gibbons, beard hanging over the cattle gate, trying to unhook the cattle gate to get into my shop. I swear to you, I wish I'd had my phone and I had taken a picture of that, because it's just etched in my mind. He came in and he said, yeah, I've been down at Carter's Vintage Guitars and played your picks, and I'm just blown away by these things. Can you tell me about them? And they go, well, you know, this is strange having you come over here. And but by that time, I mean, you know, I was kind of getting used to having people over. Vince Gill comes over, and, you know, Phil Kagey and, all, you know, Johnny Hyland and all those guys. So they're just another person. They're just famous ones, you know. Mm-hmm. It was kind of awesome having Billy there. And so I said, what'd you like about it? He says, well, I like this, and I like this, and I like this about it. I like the way it felt. Sure does grip to my fingers. That's really nice. And he said, I just love this clear stuff. What is this? How do you make it? So I don't take very many people back in the shop, but I took Billy back there and showed him how we did it. And so he said, well, here's my logo. He handed me a pick, and he had his little logo on it. This is my logo. You think you could do a few hundred of these for me? And I said, yeah, we can do it for you. So then he promised me, he said, well, we're going to send you guys some tequila. I said, okay. We never did get the tequila. I have to talk to Billy about that next time I see him. I never did get that box of tequila. he's got a company that sells tequila.
Yeah, he's got to come across with that.
He's kind of put out. You know, it's getting kind of one-sided. We never did see that tequila. And anyway, he decided he liked the scratchy edge, and he liked this, and he liked that. He got his logo on him. And to this day, we, you know, a lot of the stars, we have what's called the Signature Series. I don't know if you've seen it. I have the star sign this little card that my wife makes up. Nancy makes them up, and it has the story, a little bit of the story, like two very small paragraphs about the artist. We have these little glue dots. We stick the pick to the card, and the artist actually hand signs each card. They're not done through a machine, not an autograph machine. They're actually hand signed. So Billy's still doing that with me.
That's cool.
Yeah, I sent about 300 cards to him the other day. I said, Moses, you gotta tell me. I said, if this is the most, and then, oh, and I give the artist half of the, you know, the money that comes in for it.
Right.
It's not like they're doing nothing. And I said, you know, you gotta tell me, Billy, if this starts to get on your nerves, and this is why Billy Gibbons is still the superstar that he is. I'm getting ready to tell you right now. He looked at me and he said, you know what? This is a different way. This is a very unique and good way for us to service our fans.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is just a good way for us to keep in touch with our fans. I said, you know what? You're an absolute brilliant person. Just things like that. I've seen Billy get up and walk across the room, excuse himself from his meal. I've seen him walk across the room, hand one of those little ZZ Top keychains to somebody. As you could tell, they wanted to talk to him, didn't want to bother him. And they shake their hands and come back and finish his meal.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched him do that. That's what a superstar is all about.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's funny because you can tell that about him. He is just genuine. He's the real deal.
He is genuine. He's exactly what you see. Billy is exactly what you think he's going to be. And he told me one day, he says, you know, we were talking, and I think I had taken a picture of him with a bunch of girls. We walked out of a restaurant one time, and I took the picture, you know, with this foam fork and all that. And I said, did it ever get tired of being you? And he said, no, it doesn't. He says, it's really what I signed up for. And he said, but to be real honest with you, I don't know if I made this person, Billy Gibbons. I don't know if I created him or if that's really who I am.
Hmm.
I said, I honestly cannot tell.
Hmm.
Isn't that an interesting statement?
That is interesting. Huh. Or did the legend, you know, the mythology of him?
Yeah, I think the legend just swallowed him up, and
yeah.
If it wasn't him, he became him. He just doesn't know where the old guy left and the new guy came.
Yeah, I mean, because when I look back at some of the photos from like 1969, when they first started putting that thing together, that little old band from Texas. They were, you know, young and, but yet at the same time, still seasoned. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah. They had it together back then. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. He's playing our tradition light. Same thing you got in your hand. They're just wanted to scratch your head or something.
That's pretty cool. So, with 100 different models of picks, how do you decide, okay, this is going to do that? Is it really just all experimentation for you?
Is it really what?
Is it all just experimentation?
Oh, you mean how do I come up with them?
Yeah, I mean, because I'm looking at them all right now. And folks, you can go to vpicks.com, v-picks.com. To find this, and I'm telling you, man, I'm looking at all these different models, and I know that they are all going to make things sound different, feel different.
Yeah, they are. They are, and we have great replacements for jazz threes. You know, I have people that play jazz threes for 35 years that don't play them anymore. We got replacements for a traditional guitar pick like you're holding there.
Mm-hmm.
You got three or four thicknesses of those. We've got round picks. I prefer symmetrical picks, whether they're round or pointed. I like the exact same shape no matter how I hold pick.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to figure out where my pick is at all. So we got symmetrical picks. We've got rounded ones like Vince Gill. He likes the rounder the better.
Yeah.
Vince really likes the rounded ones.
Yeah.
I got Jimmy Herring. Jimmy Herring plays my symmetrical pick, which is the large, light pointed. Hey, you know who Jimmy Herring is.
Oh, sure.
And he plays the large, light pointed, and it's the symmetrical thing. Thick picks, as thick as a quarter. I prefer the really, really thick ones. We're riding down the street, sorry. I prefer the really thick ones. I play one that's actually 5.85 millimeters.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to tell people this, do this little experiment. Hold your hand up and just let your thumb and your first finger relax. And look at that space between your thumb and your first finger. That is approximately anywhere from 4.0 millimeters to 5.85 millimeters. It was your hand just completely relaxed. And that proves to me that I'm playing the right pick.
Mm-hmm.
And now some people, they insist on playing my ultralight picks. I can't play anything that does other types. Okay, so we did take the material, we altered it a little bit, and we made it to where there is a little bit of give in those picks for the people that feel that they have. Now, I like a little bit of give in a pick for doing acoustic work. And it'll really make the acoustic guitar sit in the mix right next to the hi-hat.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice, like an old Eagles record. And that works out really good. But when it comes to just playing my guitar live or going out there and playing electric guitar, I play a thick pick because I don't have to hold it. Number one, it holds onto me or grips onto me. And the tone, it puts me right on the top of the band.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to re-EQ and get on top of the band. As soon as I grab it, I have people that say, buy my picks, and then they say, hey, man, I took your picks to practice last night. And the guys asked me what I did different about my rig because I sounded so much better. All they did was, they said, I swear to you, Vinny, all I did was change my pick. So I said all that to say, all these different picks do different things. And it all depends on what you like. Some of the models, I get the ideas from customers. The mummy pick, I don't know if you've seen that. You need to look on there. It's pretty cool. The mummy pick, the guy that works for me, Alan, he did that for Halloween a couple of years ago. He goes, yeah, wouldn't it be cool to have like the little stripes on it like this? He put these stripes across it with the grind rock, and boom, we set, and boy, that is a big selling pick. That's the one that Joni Highland latched onto and decided that he liked. And then as I see thicker materials in the early days, I go into the store and I see, oh, wow, look at this. I've got picks that are up to a half an inch thick. And I swear to you, they play very nicely. People go, how do you even get this thing between the strings? Well, the middle of the pick is a half an inch thick, not the edges.
Right.
To go to the strings, you know. And Carlos Santana really likes those thick picks because he says they sound like his thumb. And it's true. The thicker the pick is, it gives what's called a slow point of release. You can't hear that it releases slower, but physics tells you it releases slower.
Yeah.
And so you get this fatter tone.
Yeah.
When that thing slips, it's just kind of slipping off the string.
Huh.
Just like a round rock would do. And so all those picks that you see on that pick page, they came from just being silly to listening to my customers. People say I don't listen to my customers, but I do.
Well, with 100 different models, you must be listening to somebody.
Yeah, and sometimes I get up in the morning and they're in my head.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes, like the chicken picker. I flew out to, before I moved here, I flew out to Nashville, and all these guys are out here in Nashville, they were all playing like they were getting paid by the note, you know? And every one of them was sitting there doing the same thing, playing that fast. And,
right.
And they're all playing jazz threes, almost every one of them. And I thought, you know, I got to put into that. Jimmy Dunlop, he's a buddy of mine. I know Jimmy. And it's friendly competition, but it's competition nonetheless.
Right.
And so I said, I gotta come up with something that's gonna hit those guys. So what better name than the chicken picker, you know?
Yeah.
That's what they all were. They're chicken pickers. They're chicken picker shredders is what they are. So that's where the chicken picker came from. And I had a really dear friend named Mike Scotia. He's the one that Jimmy Dunlop made the Sharpie for. Mike's since passed and gone away. He's no longer around, and it's very sad. But he came over one time and he said, "Man, I need you guys to make me something like this." And we came up with the Switchblade.
Uh-huh.
We came up with that from Mike Scotia. And I don't know if you know who that is. He used to play with Ministry and Rigor Mortis.
Uh-huh.
Some weird band. And he is. You should Google Mike Scotia. He was an excellent player. And that's where they come from. And then, you know, I prefer the clear, but a lot of people like colors instead. So
yeah.
I make colors. Sometimes I'll, you know, we don't really have over 100 models that are all different. Some of that is, we'll have like three of the one that you're playing, and it might be in blue, and it might be in green, and it might
right.
be in red.
Right.
You know.
Well, and the ones that are sticking out to me is one of them is the Euro.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. That looks really interesting to me.
Really, really hot selling pick. And that, too, is a very good replacement for the Dunlop 3.
Huh. And the Red Rocker.
The Red Rocker, yeah. I made the Red Rocker for a guy that winds pickups up in the hills of California named Wagner, Jim Wagner.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy, I know Jim.
You know Jim Wagner?
I sure do. He's a great guy.
Well, we call him Wags. He's a really dear friend of mine. He helped me get my company started. He really did. He was very instrumental.
Yeah, he's been on the show.
Oh, right on. I love Wags.
Yeah, he's... And, man, does he make a great pickup or what?
Yeah. Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made that red dance with the right. Yeah. I did that for Wags.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, so now I'm like looking at this. I'm going, oh, I think I'm going to order one of these, and I think I'm going to order one of those, and and I'm going to experiment a little bit. I think I'm going to have some fun. This is pretty cool. So nowadays you're playing some other guitars too nowadays, right? You're also playing some DNA guitars.
I used to be a Gibson guy.
Uh huh.
And I played Gibsons for years, and right now I'm playing DNA guitars.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love them. I play some others too. I have a Jason Schroeder guitar that I love dearly. Jason Schroeder is a handmade guitar maker in California as well, right up the street from DNA. I play a Jason Schroeder guitar, and I have two DNA guitars.
Right.
I really can't say enough about those guitars. They're absolutely magnificent.
What's the standout for you on those DNA guitars? What's the standout? What's the standout feature for you on the DNA guitars?
Oh, are you asking me what I like the most about them?
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to say. It's hard to say. The sound is magnificent. You can get exactly the sound that you want. That is really good. The feel of the neck, when they were making it for me, I told them I wanted a chunky neck, a baseball bat, basically what I told them. I like Jeff Beck, the old original Jeff Beck Strat type neck.
Mm-hmm.
And, because my hands don't really close real well.
Right.
I don't know, that's just the way I'm made. And so they made me that fat, chunky neck. They scalloped the last four frets way up. And the way they mount that body, the way they mount that neck onto that body, it's kind of a bolt in and not a bolt on.
Mm-hmm.
More of a bolt in neck.
Yeah.
And they contour it. Kind of like those new Neil Schon Les Pauls. You know how they kind of carve the bottom of the neck so Neil can get his hand way up there nice?
Yeah.
These are kind of shaped kind of like that. And so I really like the feel. I love the way the guitar hangs on my body. Not all guitars hang the right way, you know. I had them put the strap lock on the back of the body like it where an SG is, because I prefer the way a guitar hangs that way.
Right.
So I had them do that. That Swamp Ash body and the maple quarter saw neck is perfect for tone. There's a lot of bottom end in that guitar, but yet it's got a lot of spankiness to it too.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it looks like a Tele, it really doesn't sound like a Tele.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But I've done mine a little bit different. I had them put mini humbuckers on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm addicted to mini hums, and I had them put those on it. I absolutely love those hip shot tuners they use. Those things almost find the spot. It's like you're tuning, and it's hard to explain. It just boom, and you're there.
Mm-hmm.
I love Paul Smith. I love Paul Reed Smith. He's a friend of mine. I love his guitars, but I can't stand those tuners that he uses.
Hmm.
I either go past a note or I don't. They're hard for me to tune. But those DNA, with those hip shots, man, they just, it's like they find that spot.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's kind of almost creepy the way they just boom and they go right there.
Yeah.
The intonation on the guitar is unbelievable. I don't know how they got the intonation so right, but it is.
Well, I think it might be part of that recess bridge that's going on there.
Maybe so, but I mean it's everywhere. The intonation. I mean, pick up any Gibson and put a strobe on it. Put a Peterson strobe on it. You tell me if the intonation is on everywhere. It's not.
No.
Especially a Les Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not. And I don't know why not. I don't know the physics of all that, but. But I tell you that this DNA guitar sure is. And then I got a bass. They gave me a bass last time they were over. They came out and I tell you, I did a Instagram video with it the day after they left, and I think it got like 15,000 views.
Hmm.
And I was playing something silly on it, like a Pink Floyd song or something like that. And that bass, I'm kind of a little guy, and a lot of basses don't fit me well. But that thing fits me. It wraps around me real nice. I really like the guys. Plus those guys are just nice guys.
They are. And the thing that I really enjoy about what they're doing is they're incredibly passionate about it, like you are. You're very passionate about what you do. And when somebody puts passion into their intention, you know, you're only going to get good results from that. And I think that's what happens with you, and I think it happens with them as well.
Yeah, they are passionate, and they are sweethearts.
Yeah, they're good guys.
Tony and Dave, they're just great guys. Yeah. I really do. And, you know, that even makes you like the guitar even more.
Yeah, it does. You're right. Yeah, I had one here for a while, and they sent it, and we wanted to do a demo with, and I recorded over 2 hours of music with it. It was just amazing to play. It was really a lot of fun. I'm actually looking forward to my own very soon. I'm excited.
Yeah, there's an interesting question you asked me. What is it that I like about that guitar? It's interesting you ask me that because I really don't know how to answer it. I don't know if it's the tone or if it's the feel or if it's the tuning. It's just the whole experience with that little thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's just the whole experience that the guitar gives me. So I love it.
That's really what I think most players are looking for anyway. They're looking for the whole experience.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a guitar that's gorgeous that doesn't sound worth a rip, and then you got other. Sometimes you'll come across an old Strat that's been beat to heck and hard to look at, but you know you like the sound of it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think these guys kind of brought it all together. Looks along with the sound and the feel. That's how I have to answer that question, I guess.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready. You should have told me to get ready for that question.
You're ready for anything, Vin. I'm convinced of that.
Of what?
I said, I'm convinced of that. You're ready for anything. So what's next for you and VPix?
What's next for me and VPix? Well, we're really excited that we are releasing now what we're calling our Dot series.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to sound funny, but I actually have a Dot on my picks that is patent pending right now.
Right.
It's a Dot that's a certain size, it's in a certain spot on the pick, and it's a reference point. It is a, some people, even though our picks grip to you, as you know they do, some people like to feel. That's why I do that, like the Euros and the Euro 2s. I drill the holes in them. They like that tactile experience, like some of them have called it. So this Dot gives you that as well. It's not a raised Dot. It goes down into the pick just a little bit. But it's not a real smooth Dot. It's a little ripply feeling. But it's when you hold this thing, whether you put the Dot, it's only on one side. Whether you put the Dot on your thumb or you put it on your first finger, it doesn't matter. You go, okay, I know exactly where this pick is now.
Mm.
Exactly. And you don't think about it, but That's something that we do all the time. When we get our pick, we position them, right? And it's the smartest thing to play it in the exact same spot every time.
Sure.
Because that way you're playing and practicing the exact every time. So we're calling it the Dot Series. And eventually, I would like this, I would like to see it catch on, and I think that it will, where it will go into all of our models. Right now, it's on the Tradition Light of what you have in your hand there. That's the one we started with.
Right.
I just got a prototype done yesterday of a couple of the Screamers. So the Screamer is going to have it. That's our number one selling pick. And I don't know. I might do the Thick Tradition next. I'm not really sure. Maybe I'll do one of the smaller ones, Jazz 3 replacements next. I'm not really sure what one will be next. It'll become clear one day, but I'm really excited about that Dot Series. That is on the horizon. We just re-released our Glow in the Dark picks.
Oh, cool!
And they are 100 times better than our old ones were. I'm really excited about those. These things glow. I mean, when you hold them in your hand in the dark, they glow so much they light up your fingers in your hand. They do. They glow that much. If you charge them up with a headlight on a car or something.
Right.
So we just re-released those. And I got a couple little tricks up my sleeve that I have that I can't really say anything about.
Okay.
But I got this next year coming out. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with color. I got some nice little tricks.
All right. Cool. Nice. Well, that's exciting. I'm looking forward to that, and I'm actually going to be doing some shopping on your website today. So.
Well, I appreciate that.
For sure. Well, Vin, I can't.
It helps to feed hungry children
and chickens and all sorts of animals. Right?
Yeah.
Well, Vin, I can't thank you enough for being on the show today, man. This has been great, and I've been looking forward to talking to you.
A lot of fun. You guys got a great show.
Well, thanks. Hold on 1 second, but we're going to sign off right here. Well, there you have it, folks. My interview with Mr. Vinny Smith from VPix. Go to VPix.com. I'm actually on the website right now, and I'm looking at it. There's always something really cool to see, and he has Deal of the Month there, and he has his Pick of the Month, and it's really cool. I actually ordered a whole bunch of stuff, and I ended up getting the... that Billy Gibbons pick with it autographed, you know. I'm such a fanboy, and I have that with all of my other Billy Gibbons memorabilia. I'm such a fanboy, and yeah, so that was really cool to get and see that. That was pretty neat, and try it out too. It's a cool pick. Anyway, we gotta get out of here, but I want to remind you the rest of the month is really cool. We've got some really great. And interesting things that we're going to be showing you video-wise on YouTube and on our Facebook and, of course, on GuitarRadioShow.com in regards to some special announcements with DNA Guitars, who is our main sponsor here at Guitar Radio Show. Go to DNAGuitarCompany.com for more information about them and the great guitars they're building. But I've got some very special, cool stuff coming your way to share with you. In the meantime, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Keep on playing. And please, buy it. Don't steal it. And we'll see you on the next episode of Guitar Radio Show. Peace.
Now everybody say, you, Ed.
I like this crowd already.
Productions.
New episodes of Guitar Radio Show air every Wednesday on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbay, Player FM, Podomatic, and of course on GuitarRadioShow.com.